The sermon this morning is going to reflect on several parts of the readings, and also we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. To start, I reread those first couple verses from the gospel reading. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I will forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." As I mentioned before I started the readings, there is this theme of judgment and forgiveness in each of these readings. And I decided that to talk even a little bit more broadly outside these readings, but it includes them, and to think about judgment and forgiveness. There is oftentimes, and perhaps it's getting more and more, perhaps it's always been like this, I don't know. But it is very frequent in our culture and society, says, "You can't judge me. Oh, I can't judge you. Oh, we have to just accept whatever is, and you can decide whatever you want to do." And that kind of understanding is a mistake. If that kind of understanding means like there's no false teachings, and there's no disobedience, there's no sin, there's no punishment of hell, if it's like you can do whatever you want, there's no judgment, you can't tell me anything, then that is a huge mistake. The fan is safe. Do whatever you want. Put your finger in while it's running. Do whatever you want. You see, there is caution, God's law, God's way of living that is right and good, that he wants all people to know. God had teaching for Adam and Eve. They were holy, no sin, no death. Did God really say you should not eat of the tree, of the fruit? Eat that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, God said, yeah, we can't eat it, we can't even touch it, lest we die. No, 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 no. That's too narrow. You ought to be able to do something else, though, God. You will not die. You will eat of it, and you will be wise. Right then and there, God wanted Adam and Eve to judge whether his word was good for them or not, whether he is to be believed or not. And Satan right there wanted them to not believe God and not follow his word. That is the way of Satan. The dying world says, "Oh, you don't have to judge me. You can't judge me. You shouldn't judge me." And Jesus calls it, God calls it a dying world because it's dying in sin. And he wants to save the world. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did he die for nothing because there's no sin and no disobedience or no reason to need God's forgiveness? He died because of the multitude of sins. The way of love is to use God's teachings to measure both ourselves and others, to apply it to all. Now, this idea that you should not allowed to judge anybody oftentimes is taken from just one verse from chapter 7 in Matthew. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus did not say, do not help your brother, just let him be. Let him sit with that speck in his eye forever. He did not say that. He said, look, you yourselves have a huge impediment. You have a huge problem yourself. You have a log in your own eye. As he said in the parable that we heard, you have 200,000 years of work that you owe to the master. First, that has to be taken care of. First, the log has to be taken out of your eye. First, that 200,000 years of work has to be forgiven. Then you can help your brother with a small thing. As to you, a small thing. Then you can help. And I'll refer to it again, but Jesus said the measure that you use is a measure that will be used for you. That's really a critical thing for us to think about, Jesus' teaching. I want to know Jesus' teaching and everything that he says, and I want others to tell me that, and I also want to tell others that. I don't want them sticking their fingers in the fan. What's the truth about life and death and forgiveness? In that same Sermon on the Mount, just a few verses later in Matthew 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We are called to discern, to judge, to be aware of false prophets, of false miracles, of false teaching. Jesus doesn't want us to be captured and led astray away from him. In fact, if you remember 2 weeks ago, the gospel reading, remember what Jesus warned about those who would lead the little ones away from him? He says it would be better if a millstone were tied around your neck and your feet thrown into the sea. The wrath of God is against people who would lead people away from Christ. We're supposed to recognize that and learn that and be aware of that and stay away from that. What did Peter try to do? You being used by Satan? Oh, Lord, no, 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 you'll never die. Don't say you're going to die. This should never happen to you. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. For you have in mind the things of God. Have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. So, just to say you can never judge is not the scriptural teaching. We are to discern. We are to tell the truth to one another. We are to warn one another and take care of each other. And I think this is a really key thing for us to think. As the children and I talked about the fan, we're taking care of each other. Even I was getting some advice of what would happen if my finger got stuck in there. He said, you have to take it apart and whatnot. We're helping each other. And that's what God wants us to do in our spiritual lives, is to help one another, to warn each other, to advise one another. It was always interesting to me in the Kinkomba language, where we were in Ghana for 5 years, the word warn and advise is the same word. I advise you, I warn you. It was the same word in Kinkomba. The true measure that God wants us to use is his measure, God's measure. That's law and gospel. All people are sinners and all people are offered forgiveness in Christ. Paul says it very clearly in Romans 3, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." As we may warn, advise somebody about their life, we realize that they have a speck in their eye, but we realize that my life itself, even as a Christian, cannot stand on its own. I stand in Christ. I stand in his forgiveness. My goodness isn't because I'm good, but anything I do that is helpful to others or is recognized by God is Christ's righteousness, his working in me because of his power and the Holy Spirit living in me. So when I can advise and help somebody else out and say, "Brother, sister, this life you're living this way is not good." And the person may come back and say, "What are you telling me? Who are you to tell me anything? You can't judge me. I know I also am a sinner." But God warns us all that this way is not right. This way is not good. This way, if you don't have the forgiveness of Christ, it's going to lead you to hell. We're warning, we're advising what God has given and taught to all of us and offers all of us in Christ. One of the churches that confess their sins before, at the beginning of the church service, like we do, not every service, but most of our services, we realize that since we've been in church last time, we've had many sins every day. Maybe even that morning before we came to church. Maybe even if we're sitting in church waiting for service to start. We realize that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And I can't stay. I'm not here in church because I'm so good. I'm here because I need Christ. I need his law and I need his gospel. And so we say, "I'm a sinner. God, take the log out of my eye. Help me to understand your word. Help me to understand what's going on in my life." Our sin, a Christian's sin, is no less. Our life is sinful. We need Christ as much as anybody needs Christ. But all people need Christ. All people need to know that they stand sinful before God. And maybe it's something specific that they have to deal with. But they stand sinful before God, and they need Christ's forgiveness. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We did nothing to say, "Oh, that's a good person. I think I'll die for you." Nothing like that. But rather, in our sin, Christ died for us. There was a comment in Bible class this morning about the fact that God converts. We don't decide for Jesus, but God converts us. God creates a will in us to believe in him. It's a gift. It's not a decision we do, it's a decision he does. And it came to mind, I hadn't thought about this in that context, but it came to mind for me to comment. Do you know, and we've read it in church, in Bible class, John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. That's its kind of little name that we give it. But Jesus prays for his disciples, that God would keep them safe. And God would keep their faith. And then he also says, and I think it's verse 20 and 21, he says, "And I pray not only for these, but also those who will believe in their words, through their words, about me, that you, Father, and I are one, and that they may be one." And in those words, Jesus was praying for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for us to be converted, to believe, to live together as Christians, to go to heaven. He was praying for us. As we confront sin in our own life, as we confront sin around us in other people's lives, this is really important for us to remember. Jesus prayed for me that I might believe. He prays for this person that this person might believe, and that by believing in his name, we might be saved and saved together. We look to Christ to take that log out of our eye, to actually help our brother. A whole nother sermon is the reading from Romans chapter 14, which was for today. But just this briefly, Paul is talking to fellow Christians, and he is telling them, look, you all are in Christ. Some of you are eating only vegetables, and some of you are eating meat. Specifically, he says that. You should not judge one another. If one does it to the honor of the Lord and the other does it to the honor of the Lord, we are the Lord's and we recognize we are the Lord's. What God wants us to do is to help one another in the faith, in Christian life, to pray for one another, to warn one another, to advise one another. He doesn't want us to stand back and say, I won't judge you and you won't judge me. No, that's the world's way. And even Satan's way. Rather, he wants us involved, helping, praying for each other, at least. And why do I say that? At least praying for one another. Please help me with this situation. Please help me to know what to say. And God, make me humble in this. Not proud, but humble, because I'm really worried about that person. God wants us to take care of each other with his law and with his gospel, that he will save and our lives continue now and into eternity forever. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word, words of law, words of gospel, words which guide and advise, and words which forgive. Help us, dear Father, to believe these words from you. Help us also to apply them in our lives. May your Holy Spirit give us wisdom and strength to speak your law, to speak your gospel, to know how to comfort and encourage, to know how to guide. And always, Lord, continue to remove the logs from our own eyes. Help us to see our sin, confess, and receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.